I think it's kind of important to understand that our purpose here is to do some thanksgiving of a very special nature. You know, 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 16, talks about something that is difficult. Be joyful always. That's not always easy, is it? Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's not always easy. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. This is the week of Thanksgiving. If there is any national holiday that is more Christian than this one, I don't know what it is. It's really more Christian than Christmas, because Christmas is not something you find commanded in Scripture. As a matter of fact, it has become very secular in nature. Thanksgiving is commanded. Be joyful always, give thanks in all things. But that's hard to do. There's a joke that's going around that says, do you know what you call a group of baboons? And the answer to that is they're called a congress. A congress is a group of baboons. That's actually true. Politically, it's difficult to be thankful, no matter what your political persuasion is. There are war clouds: Iraq, Syria, Nigeria, Afghanistan, Iran, China. There's health concerns, financial issues, illness and death, old age, financial instability. There's lots of things that work against us being thankful. And you can blame me for this morning if you wish. I just felt like maybe we needed some help. Maybe we need to think about what we, in fact, can be thankful for. You know, we worry about Kim. We worry about all of our number. It scares us when something happens like happened with Dave this morning. But the fact is that we as Christians are to be thankful. In Romans, the first chapter, verse 21, the Bible talks about those who don't know God. And it says, for although they knew about God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. A society that has no relationship to God is a society that doesn't have the capacity to be thankful. I'm going to ask Bill Gibson, if you would, to lead us in a word of prayer here in just a moment. Thinking about what it is to be people of God. Be thankful for all the different things that we're going to talk about this morning. So let's bow together. And Bill, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Amen. Would you please turn in your songbooks to number 226. Number 226, we're going to talk about different aspects, different things that we have perhaps the need to stop and think about and be thankful for. The Bible talks repeatedly about being thankful for the creation. We sang two verses in 157 that I'd like to remind you about. For the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the skies, for the beauty of each hour, of each day and each night, Lord, we raise our sacrifice of praise. I hope as you think about what you need to be thankful for, one thing you'll be thankful for is just to be on planet Earth. Just to be in a place where we don't have to worry about hurricanes. We haven't had an earthquake. We're blessed to live in a place where we might gripe about the temperature and the rain. But how blessed we are for the creation in which we live. In Psalms 19, the writer says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of His hands." As a person trained in the sciences, one of the things that just amazes me is the incredible majesty of this creation in which we live. Every morning I get on a website, which is apodnasa.com, and they have pictures taken in space. They describe what we're looking at, the power, the beauty, and the special nature of Earth comes across so magnificently. Yes, the heavens declare the glory of God. Thank God for being in a place where you don't have to worry about the ground blowing up under your feet, where you don't have to be concerned about whether the sun will come up tomorrow. How blessed we are. And Romans says, we can know there is a God through the things He has made. Number 226, it's a very familiar song. We're going to sing the first two verses. Think about the blessings you have and be thankful for living on planet Earth. Let's sing it together. One of the great creations that God has made for us is our families. In number 157, verse 3, which we sang together earlier, the passage says in the song, "For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild." You know, when my wife died, when Phyllis died, I came face to face with Genesis 2:18 in reality. It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper for him. I will make a helper suitable for him. You know, we struggle sometimes in our marriages. Sometimes things happen that cause stress upon us. And maybe one of the things that we need to do more frequently is to thank God that we're not alone. And I know some of you are alone, and my heart goes out to you. I know the struggle and the stress that you're facing. But what a blessing it is to have family. In Psalms 127 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate." What a blessing to have children. You say, "Well, my kid's not everything I want them to be." Yeah, well, are you everything they want you to be? We need to stop and thank God for families. We tend to focus sometimes on the stress we have, the struggles we have, the disagreements we might have. But indeed, families are an incredible blessing. Proverbs 18, verse 24 goes beyond that. "A man of many companions will come to ruin, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother." Did you notice in 157, where it talks about "for the joy of human love," it says "friends above"? 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 9. "How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of God because of you?" I hope you stop sometimes and just thank God for friends. Thank God for the human associations we have. There's a popular song, and we have it in one of our hymns, that says, "There's nothing that hurts worse than being alone. Loneliness is one of the most awful things that you face in life." And some of us among us today are struggling with that, and we pray for you in that struggle. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much that you created marriage, that you created it because it is not good that man be alone or that woman be alone, but that we need each other. And Father, we thank you for friends, for the associations we have here that, like this morning when one of our number fell, us friends were deeply concerned and ran to help. That's what friendship is, Father. And we know you created it for that purpose. Thank you for friends, Father. Thank you for marriage. Thank you for all the blessings you give us, including our children. And Father, as we focus on children, help us to think about the words of the song that we're about to sing. In Christ's name, amen. Let's turn in our songbook to number 118. Would you turn in your songbooks to number 803? Number 803. You know, one of the greatest blessings we all have is to live in the United States of America. Every time you pick up the newspaper, every time you turn on the television, every time you see the latest writings coming across on the web, you see people suffering terribly in other countries. It's hard for me to imagine being uprooted when you're 50 years old, running from your home with your family and kids and going across a border, leaving everything behind just because of where you were born. I hope you take time to thank God that we live in America. What an incredible blessing. In Romans, the 13th chapter, the writer tells Christians to not be afraid of rulers because they are a source, a tester of good works. In verse 7, he talks about the fact that we need to be in submission to them. Christians are not political. But God has blessed us, each one of us, everybody in this room, to be born in a country where we don't have to worry about somebody going through these doors in the name of government and dragging us to prison just because we worship God. In your own private prayer life, I hope that in addition to these other things we're talking about, that you spend some time each day thanking God that you live in America. We're going to sing verses 1 and 4 of this hymn because they focus so directly on what we and Christians are blessed with. Let's sing together. Number 803. Let's pray together. God bless America. Land that I love, stand beside her and guide her with your light, your might from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans filled with foam, God bless America. And Father, we are so thankful, not only that we live in this great country, but that none of us came to this building this morning without food, without water. That as we leave here, every single person can have enough to eat. What an incredible blessing, God, and thank you so much for the blessings you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the harvest will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it is overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. We're going to take up a contribution here in just a minute. One of the things that we have a great capacity to be thankful for is the fact that God has blessed us, every one of us, incredibly, with the physical necessities of this life. If it isn't because we have a lot of money, it's because we are with people who are concerned about us and will look after our needs. All that comes from God's care for us. Let's turn to number 642. Number 642 expresses the desire that we have because of our relationship to God, the blessings that God has given us. As you look at the lyrics of this song, one of the things that it reflects to us is the way in which we have been blessed. We're going to sing again verses 1 and 4 because they reflect upon the things that God has provided for us in a physical way. One of the things that should be a part of that, and one of the things that we should be thankful for, is the fact that we have no need to be afraid. We have no need to be concerned. That's easier said than done. But when Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount concerning what he would desire for us to be able to do in our relationship to God, he expressed it in beautiful words. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. Thanks to God for the food and the water and the strength that he has provided. Let's sing "The Lord is Our Shepherd" together. My table thou hast furnished in the presence of my enemies. My head thou hast anointed with oil. My head does with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. We are so blessed. And I suppose many of us many times thank God for the blessings that we have when we sit down, but we need to understand the blessing is so enormous for a reason. Did you pick it up? You will be made rich in every way so you can be generous on every occasion. And your generosity will give thanksgiving to God. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful to be part of a body of people that don't spend a bunch of money on buildings. That this congregation, our huge percentage of our budget, goes to serve the community, to feed people who need food, to provide coats for kids, all the things that are taking place. We are incredibly blessed. Let's give thanks. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share with those around us the blessings you have given us. We pray, God, that our gift this morning as we contribute to the work of this congregation will glorify you, that it will be accepted by you and by people around us as a thanksgiving for all you have blessed us with. For we ask this in Christ's name. When we sang 157, the last stanza of that, this is the song we started with. For thy church that evermore lifteth holy hands above, offering upon every shore her pure sacrifice of love. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. We also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, you accepted it not as the word of man, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work. And we also thank God continuously in you all who believe. Isn't it a wonderful thing that you don't have to depend upon me to tell you what God wants? That no man on earth today speaks for God. That's not the authority. One of the things that is unique about our congregation, about the message of the restoration movement, is that we only rely upon God's word. And as this verse of 157 expresses, we thank God for the church. We live in a time when a lot of people denigrate the church. They try to find fault with it, mainly because they don't understand it. 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse 2, we always thank God for all of you. That's the church. Mentioning you in our prayers. I hope every day when you pray that you pray for me, that you pray for Richard, for Bill, for Carl, for everybody that makes an attempt to try and lead here. For the efforts that Mandy makes and Tracy makes. And, you know, there's every person here is involved. And we're so thankful for that. He goes on here and he says, we continually remember before God and our Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, beginning with verse 3, we ought to always thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials that you are enduring. Let's turn to number 888 in our songbook. Number 888. It's a very short song, but it's an expressive song, thanking God for all the wonderful things that he has given us spiritually through the church. Let's sing number 188 together. Let's turn to number 764. And number 764 is one of the things that God has blessed us with, and that is the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper. And this verse, this song, discusses that concept. Number 764. As we partake of the bread, it isn't a combined effect with the fruit of the vine. They represent really two very different things. When we partake of the bread, we're remembering the fact that Jesus allowed his body to be broken. I hope when you partake of the bread that you think about the pain, the agony, the death that Jesus suffered, that was something he had control over. We had a lesson not too long ago where we mentioned the fact that Jesus actually could have aborted the whole thing at any point along the line. But he wanted to do what God called him to do. And so as we partake of the loaf this morning, let's remember and be thankful that he was willing to make that sacrifice. Let's pray together. Father, as we partake of this bread unleavened, which means that, as you know, we don't have anything that contaminates the bread, that makes it different. And Father, help us to be thankful to you and not let anything contaminate our thinking this morning. That we take of this bread in its purity, and that we remember with great thanksgiving what you were willing to do for us. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You know, the fruit of the vine is a completely different remembrance. I think sometimes you get in the habit of thinking these two things just go together and they mean the same thing, but they really don't. I seriously thought about trying to insert something between the loaf this morning and the fruit of the vine, because they're not the same. The blood that Jesus shed was different than giving his body to be broken on the cross. The blood was that which washes away our sin. It was the blood that was significant in the Old Testament. It was separate from the actual showbread or the meat that was on the altar. What a wonderful thing. What a blessing. How thankful we ought to be that the blood of Jesus, which we are taking a symbol of this morning, washes away our sin. Thank God that He has given us something that can do that. Let's give thanks. Father, we thank You for the fruit of the vine. We're thankful for the sacrifice that Jesus made, that when His side was pierced, that the blood that would wash the sins of all humanity was shed. Father, thank You that we can leave here this morning knowing that our sins have been washed away, not because of us, but because of You. Thank You, God, for giving us this wonderful opportunity to be joined together with each other and with You as we celebrate the cleansing of our sins. In Christ's name. Would you turn in your songbook, please, to number 9? Number 9. Let me start us back to where we began this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 22. And let me ask you as I read this, for you to ask yourself, was this a hard thing for me this morning? Did I struggle with all these different areas of being thankful? You know, it's so easy for the things of life to make us calloused to what we actually have to be thankful for. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning with verse 16. Be joyful always. Is that hard? Well, yeah. things happen, don't they? Pray continually. That's hard. I'm sure if every one of us were to sit back and say, well, do I pray as much as I should? We'd have to say, well, probably not. Give thanks in all circumstances. You know, Kim's in a circumstance right now. It's hard to be thankful. My brother is dying. It's hard to be thankful. Some of you have got personal struggles. Hard to be thankful. But give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. See, God is willing to help you. God wants to help you develop that joy, that inner feeling of strength. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Trust the promises of God. Test everything. Why do I give you a bulletin in which I've put all the scriptures we're going to use this morning? I want you to test it. Don't listen to me, listen to God. Test everything. Hold to the good and avoid every kind of evil. That takes us through verse 22, but I want you to listen to the next verse, verse 23. After all of those statements, he concludes with, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Sanctify, that means to set apart. Sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, our Lord. And if you need to respond to His invitation, we hope you'll do that in thanksgiving to God, as together we stand and sing number 9. Won't you please come?